Shoes. Recorded live.
This show contains mature truth content. Listener discretion is advised. Attention, corrupt politician and corporate heads, or any dumbass that has need to be taken down. Congratulations, you have just pissed off the loudest stick of Brooklyn. Louis B is an American and loves liberty, especially his freedom of speech, declaring war on all bullshit bunching, info-Katusha rockets into the enemy's camp, broadcasting live from the forest of hate. This is the Cross Shot Radio Show. And now here's your host, Louis B.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the Crowd Shot Radio Show. Today, we're going to be talking about globalization. Is it a weapon of the New World Order? But first, we're going to try to get into some news. I actually, this was reported today by New York One News. World Trade Center responders appear to have elevated risks of rare cancers. That just file that under the no shit Sherlock file. Thank you very much. A new report is raising more red flags about the World Trade Center attack-related illnesses for those who took part in the rescue and recovery following the September 11 terrorist attacks. New York One health reporter Kofi Drexel filed the following report. Multiple melanoma, a type of blood cancer, usually affects people age 60 and above, but researchers at Mount Sinai School of Medicine are reporting what they have called an unusual number of World Trade responders developing this type of cancer at a much younger ages. What we're seeing is we have four cases under 45. We would only expect one of the size of our population, said Dr. Jacqueline Maloney, the director of Mount Sinai World Trade Center Medical Monitoring and Treatment Program. In addition to those cases, four others have been confirmed, and researchers are also in the process of investigating eight more. That will bring the tally to 16 in a pool of 30,000 responders participating in the World Trade Center Medical Monitoring and Treatment Program. While 16 may seem like a small number, the average national rate for melanoma is only four cases per 100,000 for all age ranges. One September 11 responder, 42-year-old Alex Sanchez, worked 12 to 14-hour days, 7 days a week for 6 months cleaning dust out of air vents in surrounding skyscrapers following the September 11 attacks. His health hasn't been the same since, and worries he's at risk. We were just given paper masks, gloves, and goggles. Literally, I was inside these ventilators, but it did not occur at the time that I was very much endangering my health, says Sanchez. Rescue and recovery workers like Sanchez were exposed to a wide range of toxic chemicals, including benzene and other carcinogens already linked to blood cancers. But Maloney says it is still too soon to say the exposures caused the cancers they are seeing. You know what? Bullshit. Look, I'm just saying, look, if you're a first responder, start getting help, and if you really want to get well, peacemeds.com, or, you know, just definitely, in my opinion, I'm not a doctor, but methylene, what the hell is that thing called? Let me go to Christie's site, try to freaking spell this damn thing, because I'm pretty sure that type of cancer, modafinil, there you go, modafinil. Check out that, Google that, modafinil, you take about 5 of those a day, it's going to fix you right up, boost the immune system, help to detoxify smokers from strontium and cadmium, whatever that is, detoxifies the bodies from heavy metals, radioactive elements, free radicals, and toxins. It was designed to help the people of Chernobyl. Go to truthbrigade.com/modafinil, that's spelled MODIFILN. Pass that on. She's selling it for $27 a bottle. It's like the best price you're going to find it anywhere. You know, get yourself healthy, guys. please. I mean, goodness, if anything, they should be buying this and giving it to you. In fact, you know, really, I got to pass this on to somebody. So either that, somebody got to pass this on to somebody. Modifilan, Modifilan, go to TrueBrigade.com, Modifilan, there you go. Check that out. But, yeah. Because they're just going to poke and prod you and give you some more crap and kill you off. They already lied to you. What makes you think they're going to try to get you well? Really think about it, guys. They ain't trying to, you know, really. That's the last. The government is really the last people you should be going to for help. They should just shut up, give you some money. Not some, but, you know, give you a lot of money for risking your asses trying to help us. But don't take their health care, man. Do not take their health care. You gotta go elsewhere because they will fuck you up just to be funny. That's what I'm saying. What's also going on locally in New York City? Actually, there was a crash, an aerial crash over the Hudson River on Friday. Oh, Saturday, my bad. Killing all 9 people on board the 2 aircrafts. According to the New York City Police Department, divers and boats have found the Piper Lancer about 60 feet below water off the New Jersey shore, not far from where the helicopter was recovered yesterday. 3 back seats from the private plane were previously recovered floating in the water. Crews continue to search the murky water for the bodies of the plane's pilot, Steve Altman, 60, and his brother Daniel, 49, whose 16-year-old son, Doug, was also killed in the crash. It's kind of weird how that happened. Just, oh, damn. You know, that traffic, I guess, you know, people just got their heads up their ass. You know, I think, you know, we've really got to fix that. Something's got to be done. Too many of that shit's gone. And also, Mayor Bloomberg. He's raising taxes for the middle class. Let me try to find that article for you. I saw it. I should have freaking kept it. Wait, where the hell is it? Middle class taxes. What are you? Oh, he's reaching. Oh, no. That's 2003. Okay, well, as soon as I find that article, I'll get that to you. I should have freaking downloaded it when I had the chance. So this is where it's very important to, when you see an article, download it as quickly as possible. If you guys have Adobe, that you can pretty much print it off as a PDF if you guys don't have a printer. So that way you actually have it on your system, you know, to do it. So, there you go. Pretty much it. So, today we're talking about globalization. Oh, snap, we got Truth in Action. How you doing? We got Guest 3. How you doing, Guest 3? We're going to be talking about globalization. Is it the integration of economic, political, and cultural systems across the globe? Or is it Americanization and United States dominance of world affairs? Is globalization a force for economic growth, prosperity, and democratic freedom? Or is it a force for environmental devastation, exploitation of the developing world, and suppression of human rights? Or is it a weapon in the new world order? How does globalization affect trade, technology, economy, health, environment, sovereignty, environment, and energy? According to Wikipedia, I know, start laughing, I got something off of Wikipedia. Globalization describes an ongoing process by which regional economies, societies, and cultures have become integrated through globe-spanning networks of exchange. integrated. You mean into one world system of doing things? Moving on. Globalization has changed international law in numerous ways. For example, as globalization has accelerated, international law has become a vehicle for states to cooperate regarding new areas of international relations, such as environment and human rights. Many of them requiring states to rethink previous notions of inviolable sovereign states. The continued growth of international law is even more remarkable in this sense, since states having undoubtedly weighed the cost and benefits of loss of this valuable sovereignty has still chosen to continue the growth of international law. Because of the need for enhanced international, or some call it transitional cooperation, globalization has therefore given new meaning to classic issues. Questions of authority of a country within its own borders, that is, its state sovereignty, the soul of the individual, and the international community of nation states. The authority of international organizations have all evolved in light of forces of globalization. I mean, really think about what the UN has done to the United States. The UN has land rights to do what they want and tell the United States what to do. They created laws telling it seems like only the United States follows and that we end up paying for. And recently, which I actually read the article some time ago, President Obama volunteered the U.S. citizens to pay taxes to the United Nations because of global warming. But that money is just going to go towards it's basically spreading the wealth around. Basically, it's to help underdeveloped countries. It ain't going to stop global warming. It isn't going to prevent pollution or anything like that, or developing new technologies. No, it's just taking money out your pocket so that way they can give it to a poorer country, or so they say. Again, we're paying taxes to a group of people. We're going to be paying taxes to a group of people who we didn't vote for. So that's one of the dangers of globalization right there, is that these new laws that it seems like only the U.S. follows, or that we are made to follow, made to pay for, is the problem here. On a health issue, it makes it easy for the spread of diseases. And this global, for diseases in particular, have become extremely important concerns and are discussed throughout the world issue brief. Two of these diseases, HIV, AIDS, and tuberculosis, are found across the globe, and other two, cholera and malaria, primarily afflict poorer countries. If you would like to learn, it's difficult to imagine how the increases of international commerce and the movement of people, two defining features of globalization, might influence health. More goods go to more places today than at any point in history. More people travel farther, more frequently come into contact with more people and goods than at any point in history. Let me see if there's anybody calling in. We got the Angry Scotsman. Oops. Scott!
Gee, thanks. How you doing, man?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. What's the topic for today?
Globalization. Is
globalization.
It a tool against the world? Yes.
Nice. Yes. The end-all, be-all of it all, right? Pretty much. Very generalized topic.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm trying to like, hit on everything, but, I mean, you know how it is. You know how the New World Order acts. They got their hands in everything, so it's hard for one person to cover it all. You know, this is why we need people like Truth in Action, Kev, Guest Three, Guest Four to like, oh, you know, focus on one thing and kick ass at that one thing instead of covering it all, which is why I'm actually my resignation letter is going to be going up on the site soon. I'm actually quitting the 9/11 truth movement.
All right.
Because I want to focus.
Not the ideals of the fact that 9/11 was an inside job, but you will be quitting the actual movement that as it is organized now.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay.
Yes,
gotcha.
Correct. No, I'm always going to be a 9/11 truther. I'm always gonna fight for for the truth of 9/11 and getting back, protecting our sovereignty as a people.
Right.
But the way the movement has been run, it's more like a religion than an actual lobbying type of organization. I mean, because really, like, when I really think about it, in the 2 years that I've been active.
Right.
I haven't seen any changes in policy that were inspired by us. Nothing. I've just seen a lot of higher ups in the movement, a lot of cock sucking, pretty much a lot of jock riding.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, you're doing good because you put out some YouTube videos of topics that I agree with. Oh, yes. Yeah, and you know what? Yes, we have gotten to people. We have converted people. We have made shine light on certain subjects. And, yeah, that's important. But they're still getting away with crap.
Right. And I can tell the whole religious aspect of it. I mean, you just used the word converted like it was, okay, just in the, you know, I have to wash myself. It's not necessarily converting people, but I'm not giving you shit on it.
Yeah.
You know, I understand where you're coming from, you know, and it's getting to be more of a groupthink sort of thing, and it's getting a little scary, to tell you the truth. And that group mentality, we started out as a bunch of individuals. They're starting to come together as a group, and they're starting to lose their individuality, and it's becoming much more vertically integrated. And I saw that coming, too. I don't like that one bit. Now, out here in Iowa, the 9/11 truth movement's still pretty new. We Are Change is still relatively small out here. And so, you know, it's easier for us to go about our own ways. Out there in New York, on the other hand, you guys have been at it for years. So, you know, I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah, I mean, especially when I started, you know, and we'll get back to globalization soon. Just let me get back to this. I'm like, I just realized we just took a tangent. We just went off the road, and now we're on the ATVs dune hopping here. All right. I mean, the reason why I had to go is because I started questioning where the money was going.
Right.
It started getting a little too hot for me, you know what I mean? So basically, I was putting myself out there, and it looks like I was asking the right questions at the wrong time.
Right.
If you get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Well, so as soon as I decided, look, I need to back off. Because either I'm gonna go insane or I'm gonna go get dead, you know?
Right.
One of them two. As soon as I backed off, found out that somebody else is questioning Luke. A person that cursed me out. So I'm like, I hope they don't ask me to help.
Yeah.
Because I'll be doing the fuck you speech real fast.
Yeah, that's understandable. you know, most we can keep on doing is doing our own thing, you know. And I hate to bring up the 80s reference, especially with the really crappy movie that came out, but knowing really is half the battle. The other half is actually doing something about it. I'm sorry.
Gee, you can
go out and you can talk about 9/11 was an inside job all day. You can talk about all the crap that they're doing, all the fascist garbage that's going on. But unless you get up and start doing something about it, it's just talk. And it's just, it's like a televangelist, pretty much. Oh, give me more money and we'll keep on putting out YouTube videos. Great. Okay. What else are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, it's no longer enough. And we're getting blindsided now by the birthers, not by the birthers themselves, but you notice how much attention they're getting now. They're, you know, the movement, the entire movement itself is getting railroaded by the mainstream media, by the globalists, by the New World Order. And it's going off in all sorts of different directions. We're getting led around by the New World Order now, for the most part. So, and that puts us in a very bad spot. Anyway, that's my own take on it. Okay. Proof positive?
Yeah.
Now, Sarah Palin's now starting to kind of talk about the same stuff we've been talking about. Like, okay, so she's getting media attention for this. They're not quite calling her a kook yet, but they're kind of giving her some legitimacy. Okay, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And I'm 70% sure she's going to be the sheepdog for all of us, all the truthers, for, you know, all the people that know about the New World Order, for all the people that are, you know about the death camps, know about the eugenics and everything like that.
Yeah. Seriously, I don't trust it. I don't trust it when it comes that easy. I mean, look, they had to lock up. They had to lock up freaking what's her name? Cynthia McKinney.
Uh huh.
She's still in an Israeli prison. Wait, let me see. Actually, let me not put that. Is she still in an Israeli prison?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think she got out. But yeah, I know what you mean.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Because you know what? That's another problem with the 9/11 truth movement. There are people that say Luke's dad died in the towers.
What?
There are people like I've been on message boards like, oh, we have to support Luke because his father died in the towers. No.
His girlfriend lost a friend or a relative in the towers.
No, I recall, didn't
she?
Actually, no. His ex girlfriend's pretty much, I guess, ex boyfriend lost a father in the towers.
Okay.
And then her ex boyfriend, I'm talking about Dan Wallace. He died in his sleep. They don't know of what, so I'm not gonna speculate because that's just wrong.
Right.
And then she started dating Luke a month later. So that's not a hero there. So
gotcha.
So that's pretty much that's it, you know. And you know what? But here's the funny thing: when you try to correct people, no, you're wrong. You're going to dude. I'm pretty much here. I know the story. Luke got into the 9/11 Truth Movement when a cop harassed him when he was coming out of school. So he decided to become a libertarian. He said this on the Alex Jones Show. That's how he got involved.
Right.
So, I mean, whatever. I got into it because I had a lot of time on my hands and I snapped my knee in half, so.
Right. Well, you know what? It doesn't take any. The thing that annoys me is that doesn't necessarily take anything away from Luke. He was actually willing to go out and do something about it. Now, he doesn't have to have or any other. Why does he have to have this weird urban legend put out about him? You know, Why can't a regular kid went out and did something? You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, that I don't think it's much him. It's just that people, you know how rumors are, they get distorted and fucked up.
Yeah.
And then they don't know, they just add shit. So that's pretty much, I think that's how that worked out. They just combined all the stories and, you know, and then it became the mythology of Luke Krakowski.
Right. He can shoot fireballs from his eyes and lightning bolts from his ass. He's 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
No, he's just a regular guy that did something. Kudos. I mean, great job.
Yeah.
You know.
He started it, but, you know, it's time for people to start. And this is why I love listening to Christy on, you know, from Trooper Gay Radio. She talks about how you really need to start relying on yourself and stop thinking with a group mentality.
Right.
And
that's
It is. It's really hard to stand on your own a lot of times.
Because as much as people want to think that humans have this innate ability to be individual, we're pack animals. You know, we follow the leader. It goes against our nature to actually act individually. And, you know, it's a very difficult thing to do, and it's part of growing up. It's a maturity. It's something you have to learn. It's something you have to teach yourself.
Yeah, I mean, there's really something to be said is when you could pretty much stand up and tell a whole billion other people just, you're wrong. You're all a bunch of sheeple. You're all a bunch of zombies. Because you really don't want to. You don't even want to look at the facts or look at another point of view. You just want you all just want me dead and then to shut up like the rest of everybody else. That tells you the same thing. You want to tell me the same. You're all zombies. See you in hell. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know I'm, you know, acting on my own, and I have to keep people on the straight and narrow on this. Like, what group can we join? Well, you've got these options, but it's best to just act on your own. You know, I can help you, but I ain't going to tell you how to do shit. You got to do this on your own. I'll back you up, but you got your own gun. Go out there. Well, not literally, but figuratively. You got your own ammo, which is your information. You got your own brain. You know, go out and use it.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
She's still in Israel.
Okay. Is she jailed or is she touring?
No. She's jailed.
She's jailed?
July 20th. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
This is from, but of course, this is from Fox News. So take this with a huge grain of, a huge pillar of salt, as it were. As of July 2nd, 2009, former U.S. lawmaker, Green Party presidential candidate Cynthia McKinney and several other activists remained in an Israeli prison Thursday after refusing to sign a deportation form that they claim is self-incriminating. In a press release from the Green Party, McKinney said the form states that the Spirit of Humanity, a Greek-flagged relief boat carrying 21 activists, medical supplies, cement, olive trees, children's toys, en route to Gaza, was violating the Israeli blockade and trespassing the country's territorial waters. Which, correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember hearing that embargo was lifted by the United Nations.
Yeah. That's what I heard.
But then again, you also got to take that because who the fuck are the United Nations to be telling people what to do? I don't know. Seriously, if I was Cynthia, I wouldn't have done this.
No.
You know, she's either she's a lot braver or a lot dumber. I don't know. I'm not gonna you know, comment on her actions, but seriously, I wouldn't mind my own fucking business because they hate each other over there. Mm-hmm. It's nothing, you know, same reason why you won't jump in the middle of a husband and wife arguing or throwing punches. Same reason why I won't mess with Israel and Palestine. None of your goddamn business, and it's you that's going to get your ass blown up by both of them.
Right. And a lot of people don't realize this. Israel is essentially a police state. Their military is their police. And, you know, they don't have the same rights that we allegedly have here in the United States. They don't have to pretend that we still have a constitution. They don't have one.
And check this out. The establishment hates Cynthia McKinney to begin with. They ain't doing nothing to get her back.
Uh-uh.
Shit. I mean, I'm probably gonna try to call one of my contacts and see what's going on.
Right.
Over there. Yeah. Probably gonna have to pay the international fee for Skype and give that some bitch a call. you know, Israelis, they're like Middle Eastern Puerto Ricans, tell you the truth. they really are.
Yeah.
Filipinos are Asian Puerto Ricans. And Ukrainians are Russian Puerto Ricans. There you go. So, no, I'm just kidding. I don't know about Ukrainians. All I know is, when their women are young, they're hot as hell.
Yeah.
When they get old, it's like, oh, shit.
What happened?
What happened? You mean there's no gradual aging? It's more like, oh, you're fucked up. All right. So anyways. So, yeah, Cynthia McKinney is still in jail, unfortunately. She's supposed to speak at a 9/11 truth event, which there's still no venue for.
Uh-huh.
Which, oh, that's going to be hilarious. Because a certain you know who just fucked that up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
All
but,
right.
Hey. On the issue of globalization, I ended up hearing that apparently there is the SPP summit currently going on or going to be going on soon.
What summit? The SPP summit?
SPP, the Canada-Mexico-U.S. agreement on how to... They're trying to figure out how to deal with the swine flu when it comes crashing down and killing... You know, one third of the population and all that type of stuff. So,
well, I'm already warning my family not to take it.
Yeah, I've been
doing
the thing.
But you know, so far, my mom has agreed because she was recently in France for a convention. You know, a religious convention, international religious convention. And they were telling me that France is actually taking their time developing a vaccine for the swine flu because the last time they did it, back in the early 90s, early 80s, when the swine flu first came out there, they were quick to do it, and 24 people died from the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So this time around,
the numbers that I understand for the United States was, so far, the official numbers, I believe, 300 people died of the swine flu vaccine. Only one person died of the actual swine flu in the 1970s.
Wow.
That should, you know, 301, that should tell people don't take the vaccine. Don't do the triple jab. Don't do any of that. Just, you know, chicken soup, rest, you'll be fine.
Exactly. I mean, you know, hey, are you guys really that hard up for cash that you can't deal with, like, 2 days to chill out at home? Really? No? You know. So, where was I? Oh, yeah, just had a thought, actually. With this whole swine flu and the forced vaccinations, this is really going to... it's going to kill a lot more people because a lot of countries do have socialized medicine, and they're not going to be able to afford this.
No, they're not.
Which is probably,
they're going to start whittling out the less useful people.
Yeah. So, pretty much people are going to be screwed because, I mean, the only way the swine flu is going to be able to kill anybody is if they already have pre-existing conditions.
Mm-hmm.
At the time.
I know, yeah.
You know, this is really going to, you're going to see Canada is going to become a third world country once this swine flu hits. I mean, that is my prediction. Canada, the UK, France, they're done. And if the U.S. passes this Obamacare, we're screwed too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, more so. So I haven't read much of the bill, just some of it, but I haven't seen if they're actually demanding that everyone get on unless they have private health insurance.
That is mandated. You have to have health insurance under this plan, or else face a fine.
Okay. Well, okay. If you have private insurance, do you need to still get on the Obamacare?
Here's the thing. If you have private insurance, you're fine for the meantime. However, after about 5 years, the terms in which all insurance companies have to follow for the health insurance get ridiculous. No insurance company will be able to provide health insurance within a 5-year period because of the regulations that are within the bill. This is what Bachman was talking about, what everybody was like. She said, I can't remember which page it is, but it says in 5 years there'll be no private health insurance. And everybody was lambasting her. Well, she's right, because the terms and the regulations set in the bill will make health insurance impossible to be covered by any health insurance company. Now, I don't care what you think about the insurance industry. I personally hate it. I think it's a waste. But this is basically where we're at. Within 5 years, everybody will be on this plan because health insurance will no longer be a profitable industry for the private sector. And it will just drop off the face of the earth. Nobody will be able to afford it. The insurance companies will drop it once the pool gets small enough. And, everybody will be on Obamacare.
Yeah. Kev just sent a link. FBI urges banks to crack down on shades and hoodies. I believe it. Because all the banks in New York City, they have a sign that says, please remove hats, hoodies, and sunglasses before entering the bank.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a picture of that. I should put that up when I get that. And we got John Doe, which is, I'm assuming, who Truth in Action is. Haven't seen one of the Worlders docs for 25 years. Don't need no fucking INS. Yeah. Damn. All right. Well, yeah, there you go. So, I mean, which is why I'm saying, insurance. Don't need currently I'm on insurance. I'm on private insurance. So, I mean, so far I'm safe, but but in 5 years, that means I got 5 years to get myself healthy, get myself on Modafinil, and so that way I can just tell people to go screw.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'll have to pay the $1,000 fine.
And we're looking at a lot of sick people here in the future once Codex Alimentarius goes into effect. once you're talking about all your food being irradiated, once you're talking about all the critical enzymes and vitamins and minerals that are in regular food, organic food will be gone soon. I know that the farming bill ended up going through that would regulate organic farming to the point where they can't claim that it's organic anymore because the FDA will require them to follow the same standards as major manufacturers, Big Agra, all the fertilizers and pesticides and so forth. And we're looking at a lot of sick people in the very near future just because our bodies will not be getting the necessary nutrition. We will actually have to get a prescription for the nutrition that we need in the future. I mean, I know that there's a couple of B vitamins that have been ruled as being supposedly dangerous to the body, so they need to be prescribed now. Now, they're not in too many normal everyday foods. I mean, they're not necessarily in a whole lot of stuff your body can do without for the most part. But, they're heading that direction.
Goodness, this reminds me of this movie from 1972 that I actually watched a few weeks back. It's called ZPG, which means zero population growth. It's about a world that's in not a distant future that has overpopulation. That's the fact that they outlaw pregnancy, and all that scary crap.
Right.
For like the next 30 years, people can't have kids.
Right. Well, that's a problem. That wouldn't cause zero population growth. That would cause negative population growth. I mean, that would be massive.
Yeah.
You look at your daily obituary in your small town, like 20 people die a day.
Yeah. Smog covers the earth, oxygen is depleted, love is encouraged, but the penalty for birth is death. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they talk about killing people that have kids.
Right.
Yeah. But here's the funny thing. The polar ice caps, I mean, talking about environmental issues, part of globalization, because they're all talking about global warming. But the polar ice caps grew. The population is dropping naturally, mainly because of the economy. So people are, like, keeping it in their pants or using birth control.
Right.
That's all I got so far.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, really, all their claims so far, all that demonization, all that scare tactics,
yeah,
silly. Really, mm-hmm. I mean, and then we got Obama, which 90% of the people that email him have the solution to save the economy, which would be a truly green economy.
Right.
Grow pot and hemp. In fact, God, what state? There was a state that legalized growing of hemp, industrial hemp.
Hmm.
What state was that? Does anybody know what state just legalized the growing of industrial hemp?
Montana.
Legalized hemp. Which state? Let me check legalization of industrial hemp. Oh, here it is. Found it. Oregon.
Oregon. Okay.
Oregon.
That would have been my next guess.
Yes. I actually found it. Oregon hemp farming bill becomes law. New state program for hemp farmers to be established. Salem, Oregon, Vote Hemp, the leading grassroots advocacy organization working to give back farmers the right to grow industrial hemp, the oil, seed, and fiber varieties of cannabis, enthusiastically supports the decision of the Oregon Governor Ted, Ted, to sign SB 676 into law today. The bill, which passed the House by a vote of 46-11 and the Senate by a vote of 27-2, permits the production, trade, and possession of industrial hemp commodities and products. With the governor's signature, it now makes a politically bold commitment to develop hemp in a state whose slogan is Oregon, We Love Dreamers.
That's really awesome.
Yes, dude. Dude, this is like, you know, I've actually had a dream of owning a hemp conglomerate. You know, not so much like smoking it, but, you know, making houses out of it and just being able to employ everybody to the point where the biggest problem in the U.S. is there's a lack of workers for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
There's a worker shortage, you know, this is a manufacturing job that will not die. Like, okay, well, let me read this quote. I'm glad that Oregon has joined the other states that have agreed that American farmers should have the right to reintroduce industrial hemp as an agricultural crop, says SB 676 sponsored Senator Floyd for I can't pronounce these Polak and that name, man. Seriously, damn. Change your name. If you're Polish, change your last name for the love of God, please. Thank you.
Just pick out a word and end it with ski.
Yeah. Beer ski. Sarchitsky, there you go. By signing SB 676 into law, which passed the Oregon legislature with a strong bipartisan support, The governor of Oregon has taken a proactive position, allowing other farmers the right to grow industrial hemp to provide American manufacturers with domestically grown hemp and profit from that effort. I'm moving to Oregon. Big jobs in Oregon now. They're going to be watch.
Now, the question is the Congress going to act against that and pull out the Commerce Clause to do so? Because people don't realize this. Commerce Clause, since the beginning of the Constitution, has been used to intervene in state business for years and years, the last couple of centuries. And that's one of the main reasons why you have bans on such things as industrial hemp. Because once you end up trading across state lines, it becomes a federal issue of trade. And they can come in and they can fuck with you all they want, you know, based on the Constitution. That was their big clause in there, trying to keep control of the states.
I mean, yeah, I'm hoping the federal government finally, like, just lets us have this one thing. Just let us have this one thing.
Right.
I mean, you know, this, yeah. Basically, you're printing money. Let me see. Oregon's federal delegation can now take this law into the U.S. Congress and call for a fix to this problem so American companies will no longer need to import hemp and American farmers will no longer be denied a profitable new crop. Ladies and gentlemen, hemp for victory. Yeah. Back to what I'm saying. Commons Vote Hemp Director Patrick Gogan. Under current federal policy, industrial hemp can be grown commercially in the U.S. for over 50 years has not been grown commercially in the U.S. for over 50 years because of the politicized and misguided interpretation of the nation's drug laws by the Drug Enforcement Administration. while a new federal bill in Congress, H.R. 1866, a welcome step the hemp industry, is hopeful that the Obama administration will recognize hemp's myriad benefits to farmers, businesses, and the environment, adds Gogan. Many businesses in Oregon manufacture, market, and sell hemp products, including Living Harvest, which I actually use myself, Living Harvest. They produce hemp protein, which I drink. You know, you blend that up with some berries, well, strawberries and bananas, and some stevia to sweeten it a little bit. You got yourself a meal. You got yourself a meal. You blend that up with some milk. It's delicious. You're good. You know, a few... Actually, I need to get me some hemp seeds because that's the just to firm it up a little bit, you know, so that way it forms a natural diuretic. It cleans you out. That's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. Cleans you out real good, real quick, though. The many hempsters, the merry hempsters, wilderness poets, earth, blah, 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 all these other, Living Harvest of Portland, was recently ranked the third fastest growing company in Oregon and awarded the Portland Business Journal's fastest growing private 100 companies annual award. We're looking forward to the opportunity to invest in hemp processing and production locally. That just means we're going to be getting cheaper hemp stuff. That's going to be fucking fantastic.
Yeah. And like you said, more jobs. You know, the farmers will be able to save their farms. So.
Goodness. This needs to happen in New York, man. Get some shit going upstate.
Yeah.
Goodness. Can
you imagine that in Iowa? Now, I can just see it now. Instead of corn and soybeans, it's all rows and rows of just pot everywhere. Well, not pot, but hemp. You know?
Well, of course there are going to be some people that are going to be picking it up and smoking it.
Right, and then they'll probably get sick and not really, you know, they don't realize that there's different types of hemp for different types of uses.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, the same people that go around, hey, look what I ended up finding on the side of the road.
Yeah. It came in its own plastic baggie. But I got a feeling that the Obama administration would be like, what? This is wrong. Oh, goodness, we can't have the plebes earning money.
Yeah, how long would it be before it became FDA regulated and basically the federal government took over operations of the hemp industry?
I think they have already.
Well, yeah. But you know, sort of like what the state that used to do with alcohol and tobacco. They buy it all up and then they disperse it as they see fit. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just naturally a pessimist, I guess. But
yeah. So yeah, Oregon. There we go.
That's awesome.
Yes. So now I'm gonna actually let me save this article. Let me actually put this article in the chat room, and I'll post a link on the website for everyone else that's catching this on the download. Oh shit! It's I'll go to break at 6 o'clock. Yeah, dude, I'm kind of excited. I mean, I'm not a pothead or anything, but hell yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. No. I've never touched this stuff, and I'm all for legalization, at least decriminalization. And, you know, the industrial hemp, that has so many freaking uses. You know, you can't ask for a better product.
No.
You really can't. I mean, it has tons of uses. It can replace so many different industries and so many other different things that we use, materials. And you could grow a shitload of it easily.
Oh, crap. Hold on. Slow your roll. Uh-oh.
What?
This Seattle Times. Growing industrial hemp in damp Oregon faces challenges. Oh, God. This just posted 22 hours ago. That was quack. That was quick. Despite recent approval from state lawmakers, industrial hemp growth in Oregon faces a number of hurdles, including a less than ideal local climate and likely opposition from the Drug Enforcement Agency. Hemp, a close cousin to marijuana. Wait, are they really cousins? I thought hemp was the male version of marijuana. Wouldn't hemp be like the husband to marijuana?
Yeah, you're split syntax there, but yeah, probably.
Okay. Were outlawed by the federal government in the 1930s, but Oregon will become one of a handful of states to give farmers the option of growing it when the new law signed by government Ted on Tuesday takes effect January 1st. Hemp contains high fiber, protein, and fatty acids that can be used to make food or industrial materials like paper, but it falls under federal anti-drug rules because of its trace amounts of the mind-altering drug chemical THC that is found in marijuana.
I can't have any chemicals naturally in food. No, we have to, but enjoy your high fructose corn syrup and your aspartame and all that type of crap that you end up putting in there. Sure.
Yep. And of course, don't forget the mind-altering drugs you could get legally if you have a prescription.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. The fluoride-based antidepressants that aren't really antidepressants, they actually make you want to kill yourself even more and take a lot of people with you.
Hey, dude, I'm actually talking about the painkillers.
Oh, that's right. The opiates. The opiates.
Oh, yeah.
Synthetic opiates. The
Limbaugh
special.
When, oh, goodness. If it wasn't the Vicodin, it was the, what's that called?
Oxycontin.
Starts with a P. P.
P. Percocet.
Yeah, those Percocets, after my surgery, they gave me a whole bunch of I was high than a... I was higher than a freaking giraffe hat, man. I was like, oh. Like, people were talking. I was, like, in bed. People came to visit. And I was like, all I can say is that my life is really great. I was like, oh, hey. I see colors.
See colors. I'm singing Blind Melon.
It's like,
I'm good. Dude.
But it sucked when it wore out because as soon as it wore out, I was like, all I can say is believable. There you go.
Yeah.
All right,
okay, yeah, you're
this.
Right.
Yeah, let me get back to this article. The legislation requires industrial hemp to have a very low levels of THC. The law also redefines marijuana and controlled substance under Oregon law to further distinguish industrial hemp. The DEA has put restriction on hemp research, said Mark Melby of Oregon State University. Fuck the DEA. Golly. Seriously? Fucking... Take the chill pill that you can take with a prescription. The agency has shut down growing operations in other states that have legalized hemp and prevented the Lakota Sioux tribe in South Dakota from growing it on sovereign land, said Daniel Erhert, Darrell, of Oregon State Crop and Soil Science Department. Yeah.
That it's not sovereign land if they can come in and tell you what to do with it.
Yeah. When the agency cracks down on any eventual Oregon growers is anybody's guess, Darrow said. But he said he doubts the federal government will follow Oregon in making similar changes to federal law. Nobody knows what the feds will do at this point, he said. I don't think anybody's going to take a chance with forfeiting their land to the federal government. Yep. They'll do that, too. They'll be like, oh, you're growing drugs. That's nice. Oh, it's legal in your... Oh, no, fuck your state. This is our land now. Oh, Monsanto, here. It's, 50 cents per acre. There you go. There you go. Thank you. And the family that you kicked out, you're getting 500 years in prison. And you're going to have to pay a fine of $2 billion. Oh, you can't pay? Well, then you were going to sell your wife to slavery and have your daughter work a pole. Oh, and your son's going to join the army where we will experiment vitamin shots on him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, there you go. Also, commercial growers in Oregon wouldn't be able to grow hemp on a large scale because of dry summers that much of the state experiences. But Darryl said that he's received calls from companies interested in experimenting with growing hemp. He thinks somebody may try growing hemp and try as early as next year.
Well, go for it. You know, if enough people do it, perhaps, there's little that they can do about it. If enough people say no to the swine flu vaccine, what can they do about it? They can't, throw everybody in jail.
No. There's too much. The thing is, I think they're gonna lose this one because there's way too much money to be made.
Mm-hmm.
There is way too much money to be made. There's too much opportunity, too many jobs that could be created, and there's too many hungry people out there on the streets right now that want this. Too many people
right.
want this. This is gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
And what needs to happen is that people need to start calling their state senators and telling them to tell the government to go screw. Because I understand drugs that need to be manufactured, like cocaine and crystal meth. You got to cook that shit up. It's not
mm-hmm.
something that just grows. It's not something that just grows. You need to do shit to make it that way.
Right.
Like Cat Williams, you know, with pot, it's just, it grows like that. And if you just so happen to set it on fire, it makes people, shit happens.
Right.
So. Oh, man, we got Tammy in the room. We got Kev, he's still in the room. We got John, he's still in the room. Angry Scotsman's on the line. We're going to take a quick break. This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show. Kicking issues in the balls, and I got somebody fucking calling me while I'm doing the show. Son of a bitch.
Now, do you consider that torture?
Absolutely torture. Absolutely. I mean, that's drowning.
Independent voters are now the biggest proportion of our electorate.
This is going to be a public relations, trust your government and your health officials, public campaign.
Smashing through the left-right paradigm at the Crotchshot Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. Listen live at TalkShoe and check out our blog at www.crotchshotradio.com.
This segment of the Crotchshot Radio Show was sponsored by No Sweat. 100% union-made apparel. Just check them out. Go to thecrotchshotradioshow.com and click the top banner that is No Sweat Apparel. When you go there, tell them the Crotchshot Radio Show sent you. When you visit the Crotchshot Radio Show website, please make it a habit to click on two or three of the small Google ads. Google pays Crotchshot Radio a few cents per click-through. We know that Google is a mainstream outfit, but we are using their tools in order to spread the truth. Please visit CrotchShotRadio.com every day. Delivery.com, the website that provides fast and easy online ordering from restaurants and caterers in your neighborhood. Some of the benefits of Delivery.com: save money with exclusive restaurant specials, no more busy singers waiting on hold or rummaging through piles of menus. Discover new restaurants and merchants in your neighborhood. Earn points on every order which you can redeem for prices. Sign up today. Place an order with delivery.com today and get 1,000 free delivery points. And exclusively for CrowdShot Radio Show listeners, enter promo code TCSR69 for an additional 2,000 bonus points. Only from delivery.com. Truth Brigade Radio, live at 7 p.m. only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Truth Radio has just gotten hotter. Welcome back. This is the CrowdShot Radio Show. I'm your host, Louis B. Talking about globalization, we took a quick tangent into growing of hemp. Yeah, dude. Just playing, that was Flaw, My Letter. Fantastic band. They're signed, though. Love the band, though. So, yeah, where we're going with this? You know what, hemp. I could talk about hemp almost all day, every day, how it pretty much the most perfect God-given thing out there. Most perfect. That was such a grammatical. It's either perfect or isn't. There's nothing. It's perfect. It is a perfect creation from the Lord. You can make it into almost anything and make a profit from it, make jobs, help other people. But of course, you know, there's always going to be people that are going to. So the establishment doesn't want us to be free. And this is a major thing to make us free, is this hemp. With globalization as well, we're probably, even if we do get it, it's probably going to end up it's probably be another industry that gets hijacked and sent across the seas. But screw it. This is something that we can actually grow locally. And, you know, make it cheaper than one thing that will be cheaper to produce here than if we sent it to India. Anybody want to call in? We got that angry Scotsman freaking left me. Bastard. Here we go.
Call the CrowdShot Radio Show now at 724-444-7444. Call ID 23980.
Jeez. Oh, goodness. I got nothing. What am I going to talk about now? Let's keep going on globalization. Energy. How does globalization the global energy consumption has increased steadily for much of the 20th century, particularly since 1950. In 2008, the world consumes millions of tons of oil, tones, or MTO of oil, in total energy, including hydroelectric and nuclear power. That amount corresponds to over 82 billion barrels of crude oil burned last year, which, again, they will contribute to the global warming that humans cause. It's kind of funny. I actually saw this video by Russia Today, pretty much interviewing regular New Yorkers on whether global warming is man-made or it's a natural cycle. And most people in New York City, which I'm happy to report, say it's a natural cycle. You got some people saying that, you know, that humans contribute to it and all that. But most of them still have it, like, ass backwards. They're like, oh, well, you know, we contribute to it, but there is, it is a natural cycle. So I'm going to use less. I'm going to get me a hybrid. And you know what? There's nothing against getting a hybrid. Hell, I want to get me that Tesla car. Don't have to worry about no gasoline. I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, doing stuff like getting those new bulbs, even though they do have mercury in them. So be careful. Don't drop them and break them or else you'll get sick. But, you know, anything you can do that this that the establishment gives you that could be used in a positive way to screw them. Because the funny thing is, a lot of times the establishment, the New World Order, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, they give you shit to pretty much screw them right back. You know? And again, like if you listen to Christy from Truth Brigade Radio live Monday through Fridays, 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time on American Freedom Radio, you choose to give them your money. You could pretty much, if there's something that you rely on the establishment, New World Order, Illuminati, whatever you want to call them again, you could find an alternative fairly easy. Yeah, you're probably going to have to work a lot harder. Yeah, you're probably going to have to peel your own potatoes, mash them up yourself instead of getting the flakes. But not for nothing, I kind of like homemade mashed potatoes better than a box. Anyways, get some, you know, you still pour a little salt, get some butter in it, some milk, you mix it all up, make it nice and smooth. You know, it might still have some lumps of potatoes in there, some, you know, leave some of those potato skins in there, make it delicious. You know, fix it up real nice, you know what I'm saying? It's yum, 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 you eat them up, you know what I mean? Here I am talking shit about mashed potatoes. What's wrong with me? I think I want some mashed potatoes for dinner. All right. But no, I'm going to get right on that. That's basically where I'm going with this is, you know, a lot of times when you work harder, you get a better result. Especially with energy, you could, they made, the Brown's gas generators, which you could burn water, so, you know, you could catch rainwater, use that as fuel, get a solar panel, you get that, use that for energy. Get a wind generator. They even make one for urban, you know, so you could put it on top of your apartment building. I don't know if they probably make one for apartments, too. You know, you just stick it on the windowsill and make it, you know, grow your own food, whether it's on a windowsill and stuff. I know my mom, she grows her own cilantro. Makes the food taste better. I mean, globalization can be beat. You know, it's just people are going to have to start doing a lot of stuff themselves and busting their ass. Highly suggest, which unfortunately I personally can't take my own advice, because I got so much family here and I can't leave them behind. Get the hell out the cities. You know, try to find yourself some farmland and start growing food that way. If you have an apartment, if you live in a house that has a backyard, start growing a victory garden. Start growing some food. Start doing shit yourself. Trust me, the more money you save, the better you are. And you start telling people to go, telling this system to go screw. That's all it is, you know, basically telling people to go screw. I'm running low here. I need someone to talk to. I'm trying to talk to myself. Like, here I am. I'm just very optimistic right now. Which is very unlike me. I'm a very negative person. So, again, if people want to, please call in. Help me out. Guest 7. Name and rank, please. So what else we got here with globalization? Ah, human rights. Yes. Pretty much you're not going to have any human rights. Actually, let me read this quick article from globalization101.org. The era of globalization is also the era of the individual revolution. The views expressed by globalization101.org are not necessarily the views shared by Louis B. and the Grouch Out Radio Show, which means if something fucked up is in this article, be sure I'm going to talk shit about it. Again, the era of globalization is also the era of the individual. Revolutionary innovations in technologies and communications have empowered the individual, for better or worse, to exercise a previously unthinkable degree of self-expression. The same age that has seen the advent of the threat of global terror networks is also the one that has given birth to YouTube. The focus of the individual is part of a broader trend that has been underway for centuries and has only intensified since the end of the Second World War. One of the most important manifestations of the 20th and now 21st century has been the development of a conceptual legal framework for human rights, as well as a new dimension of civil society dedicated to ensuring that these rights are protected. I'm actually going to try to call my co-host Glenn, a.k.a. Enemy Combatant, to see if he can give me his view on globalization. Because he's a lot more profound than I am. Here I am. I'm coming at it from a layman point of view. This kid actually studies the shit. So here we go. I'm calling him right now. Hopefully he picks up. Here we go. Pick up, you bastard. Yeah, right now, you know, he's out putting up posters about Obama to try to win that $1,000 cash prize from Alex Jones. You know that Obama Joker poster? Yeah.
Hi, this is Glenn. I'm not here right now. But if you name, your number, and what you're calling about, I'll be sure to return your call. Thanks.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for
more. Oh, man, I'm going to leave his ass a message.
Leave a callback number. Press 5.
Hey, Glenn, what's up? It's me, Louis B., Crouch Out Radio, calling you from the show. Just wanted to get your thoughts on, quick thoughts on globalization. Try to call you three ways so that way we could broadcast it live on the show. And by the way, the condom broke and the baby's yours. Bye. Here we go. So, we got Tammy, everyone's favorite T.I. I'm not talking about the rap T.I. Well, I mean, look, a lot of things I don't agree with this article is, I just think we're going to have less human rights. The fact that we have to answer to somebody who might not be an American, who does not know the American way of life, does not even care about our Constitution, this is just a dangerous idea. Really dangerous. Let me see if I can get... Oh, wait, here we go. We got only... Constant Change on the line. How you doing?
Louis B.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing? You're sounding good.
Hey, thank you. How you doing? Yeah.
I had to chime in on this. You're talking globalization and human rights, right?
Right.
All right. Now, who approves and protects human rights?
Well, I know where you're probably going to go with this, so I'm going to answer. We do. Us. The people. Themselves.
Wait a minute. Do we? We aren't, are we?
No, technically no. But we should.
Right, I mean, the technical answer to that question is the government, whether it's the government of China not giving human rights or the government of America claiming to give human rights to special classes of people and piss them on the rest of us. But human rights are something that man approves and man protects or takes away, right?
Right.
So why are we fighting for human rights? What man who has power over us is going to give it to us?
No one.
Well, hoping the Fed's going to let us keep him. That's like hoping the sun's not going to come up tomorrow.
Right.
So.
See, I'm not perfect.
I would. Huh?
See, I'm not perfect. Like, even,
well,
even
no,
though,
nobody
even
is.
Though I'm
putting thoughts on the table for consideration of yourself and the listener. But you see, there's another right that comes with a great deal of authority and power to assert and stand upon. But we got to be connected with the creator of that right.
Right.
And then it really gets difficult to talk about. So I'll just say that if we take the time to understand that there are natural laws, both of the seen and unseen world, and start to walk within those natural laws, this is where we find our sovereignty. This is where we find true freedom and liberty. This is where we find the courage to tell the king to go fuck himself and get away with it, because there's a whole different. So at any rate, we must continue to fight, and it is interesting to hear you're going to resign from We Are Change. I think a good move. I hope you continue to point out what's the name who's become God, huh?
Yeah, I mean it's not just We Are Change and I'm pulling out of. It's the whole fucking movement. It's I cannot represent be part of a movement that. That's more religion than activist group, as it were. And there's nothing wrong with religion. I've never said that there's anything wrong with religion. Because
I'll say it.
Let me
do that for you, Louis.
No,
all religion.
Wait.
Oh, okay, I'll shut up. Sorry.
No, go ahead. I mean, the views expressed by...
No, well, go ahead and make excuses for religion. I don't mind.
Damn it, Russ.
I was just trying to interrupt you for apologizing for religion. But if you want it, go ahead.
I mean, I've been a part of organized religion for much of my young life, and I've actually seen the benefit of it. There is a benefit to it, and unlike other religions that I've seen, the one that I was a part of, didn't have mind-controlled zombies. They didn't have people like just mindlessly spewing stuff. Or teaching hate and stuff like that.
Which one was that?
Jehovah's Witnesses.
No, they have a few other misteachings in the Jehovah's Witnesses, though. Also, they are very cultic, and they are very, the higher up the hierarchy you get, the different information that you receive about who they are and what they're at.
Again, not necessarily true, because I've actually met the higher ups before.
Well, but again,
and they're very accessible. They're very accessible. I could actually ask for a meeting and it'll be no problem.
Well,
the problem with
the Jehovah's Witnesses is they, like all religions, changed the teachings of their founder, their original teacher, to the man of time, because I take it up often with my aunts and uncles.
No. It's not the man of time. Yes, the Witnesses have changed some of their teachings because from constant study of the scriptures, a new understanding came to light, and they had to change.
No, that is not so. That's so much. That stop right there. That's so much malarkey. They changed to continue to participate in the United States of America.
No.
Joseph Smith's main premise was the polygamy, and a clearer message of, which has also been twisted, a clearer message of Jesus's message that we are all sons of the Father as he was sons of the Father, or will be transformed into, and in the end will stand with him beside the Father in the process of. So, no, Joseph Smith's message was, I ponder it deeply at times, and I know it well, the original message, not the modern religion. Let me finish, Louis.
Isn't that Mormonism?
Huh?
Isn't Joseph Smith a Mormon?
Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormon, it's all the same, different.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Be careful, Louis.
No.
Power. all out of the, Yep. Look deep. At any rate, we were talking about. Let us not get lost. And
yeah.
You know, I'm not always right. I only have information that I've been given along the way, and you may know something about the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons that I don't.
But I actually grew up in it, though.
In their teachings, they both teach out of the Book of Mormon. They both. At any rate,
no.
What we're talking about. I got to get back to work, Louis. And so I don't want to fight with not whether they're Mormons or not. The point was is that we have God-given unalienable rights. None of the rights that this country was founded on, and the spirit of 1776 wasn't some patriotic song. It was an understanding of those natural laws, and our founding fathers often spoke of the natural laws. They prayed to this creator God. And whatever modern time tells you is bullshit. They may have had bad taste about religion. I would imagine that they did, because they were escaping from a very, very nasty religion that was using that same book that founded this country. So I would imagine every single one of them had a very, very bad taste for religion. But every one of them had a solid working knowledge of the natural laws that included both the physical, as much as we understood of them, and the unseen spiritual. They are absolute, they are real, and until we get off our asses and realize that there is an authority that we are born with and make connection with the creator of that authority and start walking in it, we're going to get our asses kicked, and we're going to pass on to our children a greater amount of slavery. I love you, Louis. Keep up the good fight. I got to go, my brother.
Thanks, Russ. Have a good day, man. So, yeah. Oof. I started getting a little uncomfortable. Anyway, love Russ anyways. We might not agree on everything. And you know, you're not going to agree with a person 100% of the time. And that's what makes this country great. And no, I'm not going to talk shit about Russ. I'm not going to be like, start making up shit, you know, like certain people on this network would do. Start making up lies about people. Russ and Christie have never shot down any helicopters or anything stupid like that. It looks like it's time for my next break. This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show. Enjoy.
Would you consider that torture? Absolutely torture. Absolutely. I mean, that's drowning.
Independent voters are now the biggest proportion of our electorate.
This is going to be a public relations, trust your government, and your health officials public campaign.
smashing through the left-right paradigm. It's the Cross Shot Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. Listen live at TalkShoe and check out our blog at www.crotchshotradio.com.
This segment of the Cross Shot Radio Show was sponsored by No Sweat, 100% union-made apparel. Just check them out. Go to thecrotchshotradioshow.com and click the top banner, that is No Sweat Apparel. When you go there, tell them the Cross Shot Radio Show sent you. Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m., only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter. Lift up and lift up on my knee. Bury me like a soldier. Welcome back. This is the Cross Shot Radio Show. Final 30 minutes left of the show. Talking about globalization, so far we've learned that human rights goes out the window, that national sovereignty goes out the window, and we pretty much can't be relying on the federal government to give us anything. I still make that mistake in thinking that I should ask the government for permission for anything. That's my mistake, and a mistake that I'm probably gonna make a few times until I get it through my fucking thick skull. We almost had a religious debate, and I was like, uh oh. But Russia's cool people, anyways. What else you got going? Let me go touch on some news here. Let's see what's on freedomphoenix.com. Ah, MSNBC anchor ponders, is socialist the new N-word? As some of you may know, there's a poster being put up that was put up in California, which actually started the whole Alex Jones contest, $1,000. Someone had photoshopped the time cover with Obama and put the Joker makeup to make him look like Heath Ledger in the Joker. So why so socialist, Obama? Whenever you disagree with Obama and call him a socialist, a lot of people just call him, say, oh, you're racist. You're this, you're that, you shouldn't call him a socialist. Oh, goodness, it's a YouTube video. I thought it was going to be a straight article. Let me see if I can download that that audio in time for you. We got... So we got Iconoclast. We got Tammy. We got Domestic Terrorist, aka Russ. We got Kev. We got John Doe. And we got me. We got somebody listening on the stream. Had a lot of people call in. Angry Scotsman called in. So I'm downloading that audio while we're waiting. Let me see if I can find us another article here to report on. I really need to start doing a shitload more of show prep, because I'm good, like, for the first hour and a half, and then I forget that I actually do a two-hour show, and I talk fucking fast. Sure. So, we're actually still trying to find that article about Michael Bloomberg, Mayor Michael Bloomberg of New York City, raising taxes for the middle class. So, let's see what's going on with this in the chat room. Let's see if I can call the co-host again, see if he's going to pick up this time. Again, he's probably posting up stuff as we speak. Ah, okay. Got that audio done. So, yeah, I almost said his freaking number live on the air. That's what. I'll try him later. He's not picking up. Here it is. This is the MSNBC report.
Every day I usually offer up a big thought, and we call it the C-note. And today I want to talk about a word that we're hearing more and more, and that's the word socialist. You hear from a lot of conservatives these days, usually critiquing the president or more broadly Democrats. And while that certainly is a legitimate critique, there certainly is an ideology that can and should be critiqued at certain times, it also sometimes is just a kind of a generic conservative bludgeoning tool. And that's all right, too, because you hear it on the Democratic side as well, right-wing nut, what have you. What concerns me is when some of those town hall meetings, including the one that we saw in Missouri recently, where there were jokes made about lynching, etc., you start to wonder whether, in fact, the word socialist is becoming a code word, whether or not socialist is becoming the new N-word for, frankly, for some angry, upset birthers and others. I hope that's not the case, but it sure does say to you what David Brooks said the other day on TV, which is that more credible conservatives have to stand up and say that there's a line that has to be drawn, that there's a line of responsibility that's important, and that extends to the words that we choose, including how we use even legitimate words like socialist. I'm going to leave it there. Mort, your final thoughts for today?
No, I do agree with you. I think it is very important that the political dialogue have certain boundaries, because otherwise nothing can get done in that kind of atmosphere. Everything gets charged. So I think you're absolutely right on that.
And we can't forget, I think, that even though people joke to that, the words do matter.
Yes.
That you can ignite really significant and violent situations, not to mention destructive situations from a policy point where you can't even have a real conversation.
And then the conversation gets to be about the fight, not about the policy issue, and that everything gets distracted.
You know, I thought finally, what Audrey McLean shared about immigration was really interesting,
yeah,
because so much of the immigration conversation, understandably,
right,
is about one portion of it, but that portion about innovation, particularly in the technology space, I think is a worthy conversation to have.
It is amazing how high the proportion of people who are studying the hard sciences and getting MAs and PhDs are foreigners. We are now training them. We do the best. We have the best educational system, and what do? We don't let them stay in the country. They go to other countries, they join other companies, and become competitive with us. It's totally insane. It's one of the most counterproductive policies not to allow these people to join American companies.
Also, finally, brings up in my mind, I still believe that we don't do enough in terms of really aggressive math and science academy in low-income areas, because I do believe that we could be growing more of our own there.
Wow. Pretty much screwed right now. Can't call no one a socialist, because then they'd be like, oh, you call him a nigger. Really trying to disarm shit, huh? Ah, man. Let me see if I can call Chris Arnold of InfoWars TV to get him to plug InfoWars TV and see where he thinks. Hopefully they call in. Calling him right now. Chris Arnold. If you haven't already, oh shit, that's loud as fuck. Yeah, if you haven't already, please help support InfoWars TV to become a YouTube killer. YouTube censors many videos that expose corruption.
Your call is the voice message system 501.
There we go. Ooh. All right. Trying to co-host again. Well, Kay can't get a hold of no fucking body. So, oh man. I pretty much got no steam left. Definitely check out crutchoutradio.com. My co-host should probably be able to see what my co-host looks like. That's Lord Obama's Joker face. He's on the top, crutchoutradio.com. He also posted it on InfoWars TV. Got also a video from InfoWars.com. Which I don't know why we're posting InfoWars shit on our on the site, but Joker talks to the police about Obama. It's Alex Jones making a complete asshole out of himself, but yeah, making a point, but still makes him look like an asshole. Also, global fascism is the new world order. A video, an Australian video, which I'm hoping is a parody, political satire entitled Fascism is Fun. And of course more Alex Jones and the Joker Joker makeup. And brief history of sacred beer. Mm. And also last week's edition of the fucking news, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And also flag the White House for healthcare disinfo. The White House has been making weird claims about healthcare, not mentioning that the 2007 episode of 2020 with John Stossel's story entitled Sick in America, Whose Body Is It Anyway, makes a strong argument against socialized healthcare and debunks Michael Moore's documentary Sicko and shows the true reality about Canadian healthcare. The Obama bill has some pretty messed up shit in it as well. I actually break down some of the stuff that's in the bill. And even if you hate what's in the bill, why don't you report Mr. Obama, Mr. Dingell, Mr. Rangel, Mr. Waxman, Mr. Miller, Mr. Stark, Mr. Pallone, and Mr. Andrews. Flag them at flag@whitehouse.gov about the bill, which is a whole bunch of disinfo in it. We got violets up in here. Check out the Japanese healthcare system. What's up with the Japanese healthcare system, Iconoclast? Call in. What's up with it? I don't know nothing about the Japanese healthcare system. Iconoclast in the chat room says, check out the Japanese healthcare system. We got Ultimate Darkness, Lil Mikey. Lil Mikey was, we had like a little Saturday night show just pranking the hell out of people. Had a fun time. Yeah, don't worry. So, got this going. What else we got on the website? We got the U.S. dollar is dead. Russia Today interviews Webster Tarpley. Obama's approval rating drops below 50%. We got that YouTube video. And this video that I found, the Joker says, thanks for the blue pills. Obama says, take the blue pill because it's cheaper. So we got the Joker says, bravo. And we below that, we in the same post, we have Obama talking about saying that the blue pill is better than the red pill. Kind of scary. And, the Obama poster goes viral. We got that going. Geithner loses his cool with financial regulators. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner appeared to have lost his cool in an hour-long meeting with financial regulators last Friday, according to a report in the Wall Street Journal Friday. Deemed by the journal as an expletive-laced critique, the meeting involved such top financial regulators as Financial Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke, Securities and Exchange Commission Chairman Mary Shapiro, and Financial Deposit Insurance Corp Chairman Sheila Blair. The official told the Wall Street Journal they felt surprised at Geithner's tone and attitude at the meeting. Mr. Geithner stated, enough is enough. After listening to concerns over proposed financial overhaul by the Obama administration. Since the plan was released in June, it has faced much criticism from the industry, and some financial regulators were wary of allowing the government to enter their turf. So pretty much he's like, I guess what's going on is like fucking get in, stay in line or else we're going to bury you or some shit like that. We got that going. Ah, yes, change in transparency. blogspot.com. Yes, that's that is the Sander Hicks event because we are changed. New York has yet to find a venue and they have nothing planned, so pretty much all the speakers that they have booked are going to be meeting at Ground Zero so far. The Sander Hicks event looks fantastic. Oh goodness, what's the name of that radio station that let me see. Oh, Polygraph Radio is actually having a summer tour, and during that weekend they're going to be having a lot of acts associated with that. Yes, Uncle Richard Gage. Uncle Dick is what I like to call him. I actually met Richard Gage. He's cool people. He really is. It's a shame. It's a shame that his wife left him, though. It really is. You know, he's a very smart guy. He's very dedicated. Definitely go to ae911truth.org and give him some money so the brother can eat. You know, and when you see him, give him a sandwich or something, man. Give him a hug, a sandwich and a hug. Maybe something without any aspartame. No, she couldn't handle the truth, Iconoclast. No, she couldn't. No, it's not that she couldn't handle the truth. She couldn't handle the fact that, you know, she couldn't go to the freaking go shopping with his money no more. That's what it is. She was really a materialistic bitch. Yeah, no. There's no such thing as loyalty. The freaking media teaches women that if they can't get them any fucking Jimmy Choo shoes or my little Blonics, he ain't a man. So you know, they really teach people if you have integrity, you're a fucking punk, and that's a shame. You're not allowed to have Hey, I'm not talking for women. I'm just talking shit about the fucking media saying that I'm not a man because I can't buy fucking Manolo Jimmy Choo shoes or whatever you chicks wear, or get you a fucking purse that costs $3 billion. She's probably stripping the whole. Yeah, I hope she catches AIDS. I hope she does catch. I hope she catches AIDS. AIDS and cancer. Fucking, she thinks she's so fucking smart. Hey, I'm just saying in general, Tammy. Don't bust my balls until you get here. Yeah, that shit just angers the fuck out of me. When he was telling us the story, he was actually after the event. We actually went to the thing and we were, yeah. I actually played not like a prank because Troy from West Virginia called in the show when we were on Blog Talk Radio and I handled his ass real good. So, Troy from West Virginia likes to call people and harass them and shit. Because, oh, you're a kook because you believe this. Like my hobby to mess with truthers and piss them off for an ass. All right, later, Mikey. See you later, man. We might be doing another prank, a live prank call show soon. As soon as I can, find a rhythm and do that shit. Really, I got to start putting it out. If people want me to prank call somebody, email me some numbers. Go to crotchshotradio@yahoo.com, email me some numbers, and tell me about the person, so why you want them pranked. And we'll do a live prank call show to be determined when. And we'll get her done. And also, we actually got a store going on, the Crotch Shot Radio Show. We just go to crotchshotradio.com, click the link on the left-hand side where you see store. And when you go there, we actually got, of course, we got the delivery.com. You can sign up for that. And if you use the promo code TCSR69 or the Crotch Shot Radio 69, for 2,000 delivery points when you join up. With those delivery points, you could get some free shit. They got I think they actually have a computer up there that you could earn when you raise the points. And also Hemp for Victory. We got hemp there. We got some hemp protein powder. We got some hemp seed nuts. We got some hemp seed nut butter. We got some hemp seed oil capsules. We sell electronics. We got a GPS receiver adapter for computers for $22. We also got a iPhone solar battery charger case. The first generation iPod, iPhones and iPod touches. I got to probably take that out. We also got a special edition cell phone watch. For $132, you just slam the SIM card in there and the micro SD card, and you got yourself a cell phone watch, and also a solid state 100 gigabyte hard drive, solid state drive, for $373.75. It's a 2.5-inch SATA, 128 gigabyte. Slim, durable SSD hard drive. We also got some T-shirts from Zazzle. So go to zazzle.com/crotchshotradio. Find our shirts. Got it looking nice. Let's see if there's anybody. Any numbers, Violet. Any numbers. As long as they're not freaking government numbers, because I don't feel like going to jail. You know what I mean? So anyways, I'm going to be ending the show now. I'd like to thank Iconoclasts, Mikey, Cool Guy, Truth in Action, Russ for calling in. I'd like to thank Violet for coming in, 1-888-9-ASSHOLE. Yeah, there you go. There you go. That's a number for you. How about 1-900-SOCKET? We got like to thank Tammy for coming in, Kev for coming in. Like to thank God because without Him, all things are impossible and all that. Let me do that. And I like to thank the New World Order because without the New World Order, I wouldn't have a show. Wouldn't have content. I would just be talking shit about crap that don't matter. Like everybody else. Be pissed off of shit that doesn't even matter. So, thank you, New World Order, for pissing me the fuck off. So, anyways, this has been the Crotch Shot Radio Show. That's Howard Stern, Prank the Pranksters, yeah. Yeah, this has been a Crotch Shot Radio Show. And as always, fuck your mothers. Don't be all right.